Hey, you're listening to a New Life Church podcast. We hope this message will impact your life. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online or by texting New Life 4 Kokomo to 77977. Be sure to follow us online through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again for joining us and prepare your heart for the Word of God.
All right. Man, thanks for coming today, kicking off the very first service here at New Life Church in this decade. Isn't that awesome? You know, decades are something to celebrate. You know, if you think about it, you know, you go to your 10-year, reunion, your 20-year reunion, those types of things. You celebrate your 10-year wedding anniversary, your 20-year anniversary, your 30-year. There's something about how things happen in decades. And here, something is happening in this next decade, this next century here at New Life. And it's an exciting time to be here. So I'm glad that you're here for the very first service of 2020. That sounds weird. One day they'll talk about the 20s, and they'll talk about our 20s, you know. And that's crazy to think about. Amen. Well, like I said earlier, today for me is such a special day to have Pastor Randy and Sharon back here one last time as we begin this new year, this new decade, this new century. And we're so excited for what God is going to do in them. And, you know, many of you have got to know them over the years, and I'm sure Randy will probably share more about that. But I've got to know Randy just recently. And I was sharing with him this morning that in the short amount of time that I've got to know him, I already feel like he's my pastor too. and that's just a testament to just the anointing of a pastor that Pastor Randy carries with him. And it is such an honor to have them here today as he shares with us. And we get to share this stage together at the beginning of this year. So would you just help me do a real good New Life welcome to Pastor Randy Blankenship. Come on, church, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet and help me welcome Pastor this morning.
Bless you, buddy. Bless you, man. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank
you.
Good morning. Amen. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? It's a great place to be. We're glad you are here. We welcome you as well. And this is the first time that I have been a guest speaker here since since November of 2003. So, but it is great to be here. And speaking of celebrating special days, as Pastor Devin just mentioned, kind of celebrating special days, I was reminded that it was on January the 5th, 31 years ago, that I picked up the phone and called Coca-Cola Bottling Company on the north side of Kokomo. Why would I do that? Because I had seen their pretty bookkeeper at a Christmas Eve service, and I wanted to take her out on a date. So January 5th, 31 years ago, I called her up, and she said yes. She said yes. You know, it's one of them, what's she going to say? She said yes. So 3 months later, we got married. I didn't want her to get to know me too well. Might not have worked out if she had got to know me too well, but no, it's great to be here today, and we love you guys. We love this church, and if you are new here, this is a great place to be, and these are great people to just spend some time with, and so come on back and get to know these folks and get in these small groups, because this is a great place to be. This is a great place to be. I want to get right into the message this morning. You know, there was a game that we used to play when we were kids. I'm sure some of you remember that, the game called Follow the Leader. Remember that? You'd have 6 or 10 kids out in the yard, and you'd pick somebody to be a leader, or the biggest, meanest kid would become the leader, and, you'd have to follow the leader, and you'd walk around. Whatever he would do, wherever he would go, if he went behind the house, if he jumped on one foot, you know, if he rubbed his head or patted his head and rubbed his belly, whatever the leader did, that's what you did. That's what you were supposed to do. This was what historians and sociologists and archivists now call the pre-digital age. Those were the kind of games we played in the pre-digital age. And if you did not follow the leader, then you were out. And some kids would just quit. They wouldn't say anything. Others would quit by whining. I don't like the leader. I don't like what the leader's doing. I can't do what the leader's doing. I don't want to follow the leader. I don't want to do what he says. I don't want to do that. But everybody agreed at the beginning that follow the leader was the game we were going to play. And we would take turns, and some would quit because they couldn't wait their turn. But there would be times when the leader would change, and when a new leader went to the front of the line, if the game would go well, then the other kids would follow the leader. I believe this morning that I have strong biblical basis to say to you, follow the leader. Follow the leader. That's my title. That's my big idea. That's the first point of this message. Follow the leader. I am purposefully today not going to put all the verses of Scripture on the screen this morning. I just want to read you the stories, and I want you to listen to them. And so we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 31, a few verses. Then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he, Moses, said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." And then down in verse 23, then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, "Be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you." These are the first of four transitions that the Lord laid upon my heart for us to look at this morning and look at what they teach us. And this first one teaches us, follow the leader. Moses was the leader of the people of Israel. The key word is was. Moses had been the leader of the people of Israel. The key words are had been. Why the change? Well, I'm sure we could come up with at least a short list, but only one answer to that question matters. This answer. It's what God decided. It's what God decided. God decided that it was time for Israel to have a new leader. This has happened in the history of God's people over and over and over again from that time until now. Millions and millions and millions of times. It is the precedent. It is the way of God. God decided that it was time for Israel to have a new leader, and God has decided, God is the one who has decided that it's time for New Life Church to have a new leader. From Pastor Watkins to Pastor Dishman to Pastor Pennington to Pastor Albertson to Pastor Watkins again to Pastor Owens to Pastor Deaton to Pastor Gifford to Pastor Randy and now to Pastor Devin, and my family has sat under all of their ministries. This is not the first time that this has happened in the history of the people of God. And this is not the first time this has happened in the history of this church family. And if we follow God's plan, if we follow the leader, all will be well. All will be well. So don't whine. Don't say you don't like the leader. Don't say you don't like what the leader's doing. You're not going to pat your head and rub your belly. That's stupid. Don't say you don't like change. Just play the game. We picked a leader, play the game, follow the leader, have fun, have a good time. That's what it's about. We've got a grandson now. We've got an 8-year-old grandson. He was adopted out of foster care out of a life of terrible trauma already. And I'll tell you what, some days, whether we have good days or bad days, it is entirely up to him. I let him know that. I said, "Zay, it's up to you. We can have a good day or we can have a bad day. I'm telling you right now, it's up to you whether we have a good day or not. It's up to you. It's how you handle this moment right now, whether we're going to have a good day or not." One person can get out of sorts and ruin everything for everybody. Just see God's plan and do what the Bible says. Follow the leader. Moses had a vision. Moses had a purpose. It was to get the people free from Egypt and then to lead them in a time that ultimately was a time of judgment. Moses didn't know that at first. At first, Moses was going to be the deliverer. He's going to set the people free. And he goes and he sets the people free. And then God gives him a new vision, and it's to lead them through judgment. Because that's what the 40 years in the wilderness was. The 40 years between Egypt and their slavery and Canaan and their freedom and the promise of God, those 40 years were a time of judgment. They arrived at the promised land in 3 to 6 months. But because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience, so Moses led them into freedom. Moses led them through a period of judgment until God was ready to take them into the next phase of his plan for them. Then Moses' leadership was over. Joshua was the one who was to take them in to possess the land and to help them win battles against their enemies. So Moses completed his purpose, and it was now time for Joshua. God gave me a purpose. God gave me a mission, and that was clear to me in October of 2014 to prepare this church to be led by the next generation. I have completed the purpose for which God gave me. I've completed the mission. I've completed the task. That vision God gave me for this place is complete. Now it's time for a new leader, and this new leader is going to have a new vision. He's going to have a new plan. And for a new plan to be implemented, it will require new processes. Catch that. For a new plan to be implemented, it will require new processes, new ways of doing things. Different ways of doing things. Pastor Devin will do things differently, not only because he is Pastor Devin, not only because he's younger, not just because he wants to change things, just because we want to change things up, but because there is a new vision, and a new vision requires new processes to accomplish that vision. Joshua did things that Moses never did, because something different had to be accomplished under Joshua's leadership that could not be accomplished under Moses' leadership. This is huge. So just follow the leader. And I say to Pastor Devin today, in this new season of ministry, there will be challenges that you fully expect, and there will be challenges that you never see coming. You see, because one of the first things Joshua was going to do, he was going to go in and take over the city of Jericho. And then he was going to go over and take over more cities. And God was very clear about what was going to happen when he went to the city of Jericho. Your people are going to go to Jericho, going to march around the walls, going to march around a wall one time a day for 6 days, being very, very quiet. Then you're going to go the seventh day, and you're going to march around 6 times on the seventh day, being very, very quiet. And then the seventh time, on the seventh day, you're going to blow your horns, and you're going to blow your trumpets, and you're going to bang your drums, and you're going to scream, and you're going to holler, and you're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall down. You're going to go, and you're going to take over the city, and it's going to be yours. God was so clear. God was so vivid. God was so descriptive. God was so detailed. God told him everything that was going to happen. Joshua had these expectations, but God didn't tell him everything. Because God told the people, everything, you don't take any plunder from the first city. You don't take any plunder, you don't take any treasure, you don't take any booty, you don't take anything. The first belongs to me, because ultimately they were going to take over 10 cities, and the first tenth of everything belongs to God. Tithing, by the way, tithing. It happened way before the law came. That was God's tithe, the produce from Jericho, the first. Everything from the first city of 10 cities belonged to God. And God told Joshua all this stuff, but God didn't tell Joshua that there was going to be a guy in the church family that was going to cheat and steal from God. Achan stole some of the goods from the city that God said, leave it, it belongs to me. You can have the stuff later. So Joshua had these great expectations of battles and victories and miracles, but Joshua did not know about Achan. God did not know the problems Achan was going to cause. God did not know the trouble Achan was going to cause. God knew it. Joshua didn't know it. God did not tell Joshua about the rebellion that was going to come and the consequences of that rebellion. So there will be some surprising rebellions. There will be some surprising opposition. There will be problems that you can anticipate. But there will be opposition that will come that you could never see, never expect. It will come out of nowhere, and it will come in your first 6 months. It will come in your first 6 months. It will come in your first year. You'll be sailing along. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And then, bam! Never saw that coming. God, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me? Why didn't you give me some kind of warning? And you'll want to quit. You want to quit because this is not what you signed up for. This is not what you saw. Nobody revealed this to you. Nobody told this to you. You didn't expect that. And you were ready to be, if I'd have known this, I'd have never come here. My advice to you is don't quit. Don't quit. When the opposition and the trouble comes unexpected out of nowhere, don't quit. Because Joshua didn't see Achan. Joshua was only told about all the wonderful stuff. He didn't see Achan. But it came. And he didn't quit. Stuff's going to come. Don't quit. Don't give up. Church, when you see your pastor battling in the face of unexpected opposition, just follow the leader. Just follow the leader. There will be times when this man is going to need your support. Pray in your closet, but tell him too. He's going to need your visible, verbal, physical support like he never has before in his life. The second example of transition I want to look at is a transition from David to Solomon. David, the second king of Israel, to Solomon, his son, the third king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as the time of King David's death approached, he gave, this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you'll be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all of their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. So what we learn from this transition is listen to God's voice. David's telling Solomon, listen to God's voice. And he's telling him, success is not in being like others. It is in following the voice of God. Success is not in being like others. It is in following the voice of God. Israel has a king now. Why do they have a king? Because they wanted to be like all the other nations. All the other nations have a king. We want to have a king too. You see, they rejected God. They rejected his leadership. They rejected his chosen prophet Samuel. So he gave them what they wanted. He gave them a king. He told the prophet Samuel, he said, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. They want to be like everybody else. They're comparing themselves to other nations. We want to be like them. We want to be like them. We don't care about God's plan for us that's unique and special, and there's a reason why we're here. We want to be like all the others. And guess what? That first king failed them. They wanted a king, but that first king failed them. He was full of himself, and he was in competition with others, so God raised David up. Oh, and God is so sneaky. You know why? Because he gave him David to be their king. But David was also a prophet. They had a prophet. They had a prophet of God. We don't want that. We're rejecting it. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king to lead us. We want secular leadership. Church ought to stay out of the public square. I can say anything I want to now. I'm leaving. I usually did that anyway, didn't I? So he gives them the first king who's an utter failure. So then God gives them another king, but that king's also a prophet. So God sneaks in what he wants under the door sometimes, no matter what we want. He gives them something they think that they want, but in reality, he's giving them what he wants for them. Both a king and a prophet. So now it's time again for the torch to be passed, and David calls his son Solomon in, and he tells them. He tells Solomon some things. And one of those things he's telling him is success is not in being like others. Don't compare yourself with others. Find the voice of God and follow the voice of God. It's like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Do not live in comparison with others. Do not live in comparison with other pastors. Do not live in comparison with other churches. Do not live in comparison with other leaders. Do not live in comparison with other ministries. Paul said that is not wise. David wanted Solomon to be an even different leader than he was. He sat Solomon down. And other than the advice of following the voice of God, David told Solomon to specifically handle some specific situations completely differently than what he did. David gave Solomon advice on how to handle certain people. And he said, you know so-and-so, he said, this is what I did with them. Here's what I suggest you do with them. And this person over here, this is how I handle the situation, but I suggest you handle the situation differently. David knew that Solomon had to establish his own leadership and his own team. Not only would the leader change, but the leadership team would change because now not just there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new vision in town. There's a new vision in town, a new purpose, just like the new vision and the new purpose from Moses to Joshua. So follow the leader. Listen to God's voice. Because success is not in being like others, but in following the voice of God. That will bring even more changes than what we can expect. The third transition I want to look at is the transition from Elijah to Elisha, to the Old Testament prophets. Elijah to Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. And then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Jericho. And then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. And then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together. And 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. And then Elijah folded his cloak together and he struck the water with it. And the river divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. And when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and become your successor. Well, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. And as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and he cried out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then the river divided. And Elisha went across. And when the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what had happened, they exclaimed, Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Sir, they said, just say the word and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley. No, Elisha said, don't send them. But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing. And he finally said, all right, send them. So 50 men searched for 3 days but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. Didn't I tell you not to go? He asked. A lesson we learned from this transition is, don't be looking for the past. Don't be looking for the past. Don't be looking for Elijah when God has raised up and given Elisha to be the new leader. Don't be looking for me. Don't be thinking about how Pastor Randy would do things, because Pastor Devin's going to do things differently. He's not going to be asking how I would do things. He's going to be asking, where is the Lord God of Elijah? So follow the leader. There's a new vision and a new purpose. Listen to God's voice. Don't compare what's happening with others. Don't look to the leadership of the past when God has given new leadership for today. And one more transition, and that's a transition from Paul to Timothy. And actually, last October, November, we took several weeks to go through those letters from Paul to Timothy. He gave way more transitional instructions than we could begin to cover in one message. But I want to focus on this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. This transition teaches us that age is not a factor. Age is not a factor. Samuel was a child when God first spoke to him and through him. Jeremiah was a child when God called him to be a prophet. Timothy was a young man, but God called him and established him to be the leader of God's people. And Paul warned Timothy not to let the people continue to push him around simply because he was young. All of these godly biblical leaders were younger than what Pastor Devin is at this period of time. I believe this is solemn. I believe this is solemn. We had better respect, honor, and follow the leadership God gives, and age is not a factor in that. Paul planted many churches, but he stayed in Ephesus longer than he stayed anywhere else. And as I close my time with you today, I simply want to share with you what Paul shared with them from Acts chapter 20. You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I did not shrink away from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'd like for Sharon to come and join me and Pastor Devin and the deacons. If Jenny is here, I don't know if she's here or not, if she's not here, but Pastor Devin, come. If our deacons that are here, would you all come and join me? Early in my ministry here, the deacon team gave me this staff as a reminder of my duties to faithfully shepherd God's people and as a sign that they were accepting my leadership. So Pastor Devin, I now pass this staff on to you, and I pass the leadership on to you. And I pray that you receive and are worthy of the honor and the respect that should come to God-called leadership. There was a time in Elisha's ministry when a young boy died. Elisha sent his assistant with his staff, and he told him to lay the staff on the child, and nothing happened. Elisha had to get there himself to bring the anointing for the child to come back to life. You have been the staff, but now you hold the staff. And so a greater responsibility is on you. And so a greater anointing must be in you. And so let this staff remind you of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said to Timothy, I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. And I want to share with you what was shared with me at my ordination in 1987, when you were probably 1 year old. From our pastor superintendent in Ohio, Bob Crabtree, where I found the man of God, the preacher of the word. I found him calling his neighbors to repentance. However, none were saved except his own family. And all the while he built a boat. His name was Noah, and he was a preacher. I found him with part of his congregation turning against him, including members of his own family. I watched him calling upon God on behalf of those same people. His name was Moses. He was a preacher. I found him challenging the political leaders of his day who had caused the people to sin. I watched him pray until the fire of God fell. His name was Elijah. He was a preacher. I found him suffering along with his nation as a result of poor leadership. I watched him call the nation to faith in God, who was their only salvation. His name was Isaiah. And he was a preacher. I found him ministering to the down and outers, the people who were left behind, the outcasts. I watched him crying for the people. His name was Jeremiah, and he was a preacher. I found him running from God because of fear and doubt until a fish set him in the right direction. As a result, a city repented. His name was Jonah, and he was a preacher. His diet left something to be desired, and his clothing was not the end thing in Jerusalem. Even though he preached repentance, the crowd still came. His name was John the Baptist, and he was a preacher. He denied ever knowing the Lord, but later God filled him with the Holy Ghost. After one of his sermons, 3,000 people were saved. His name was Peter, and he was a preacher. He was university trained, beaten, and bound in stocks. God used him to write the manual on church planting and missions. His name was Paul, and he was a preacher. He had a godly grandmother and a godly mother who inspired him in the faith. And although he was a young man, he was a successful pastor. His name was Timothy, and he was a preacher. He was stuck on an island after years of ministry. God used his pen to write what is yet to happen. His name was John, and he was a preacher. He borrowed transportation to ride into Jerusalem. Regarded as a great teacher, he healed the sick, fed the multitude, cast out demons, rose from the dead. His name is Jesus, and he is the preacher that we are to emulate above all others. I want to share one more thing before we pray. There was a young pastor who went into a new community for him and took a new church for him. He did not know the people very well. He was just getting started. This was his first church. He was a young man. And after one of the Sunday services early on in his time there, a lady approached him. Like I say, he didn't really know the people yet, hadn't gotten to know them. A young lady approached him and said, "Pastor, my neighbor doesn't go to church. She hasn't been in church. She's got young children. They've never been in church. They don't know anything about church, but she's got cancer. And the doctors are saying there's nothing that they can do." She said, "Would you go visit my neighbor?" He said, "Sure, I'll go visit your neighbor. Give me your address." He got the address that week. He found the house. A little bit nervous, you know, praying for someone, meeting someone, knocking on a door of someone he didn't know, and the dire situation of her with cancer and the doctor's diagnosis. Knocked on the door. And the door opened just about 6 inches, so at first he didn't see anything. Until he looked down, and he saw the face of a little six-year-old girl, and she said, "Are you the man from God?" She'd never been in church. She didn't know our church terms, pastor, whatever. All she knew was somebody told her this man was going to come and pray for her mother, who the doctors could do nothing for. Pastor didn't expect that question. His first thought was, "Well, I'm the pastor of the church." But that's not the question the little girl asked. He thought, I've been to Bible college. I've got my degree. She didn't care about that. He thought, I've been ordained by my denomination. That meant nothing to that little girl. She said, "Are you the man from God?" And he looked down and he said, "Yes, honey, I'm the man from God." And he went in, he prayed for her mother, and her mother was healed. God has called you to be his man for this time, for this place. And we speak that blessing over you. Would you stand with me? Pastor Devin, would you kneel? Guys, would you gather around? Let's lay our hands on him and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your leadership, your direction has been so clear. So clear, even as from Moses to Joshua, David to Solomon, Elijah to Elisha, Paul to Timothy. Lord, it's happened so many times before. This is not new to you. Lord, we lay our hands. We thank you for the calling upon this man's life. We thank you for his family. And we pray, God, that you would do what we cannot do, that you would do what we are unable to do. Lord, that you would lay your hand upon him and you would lay your anointing upon him and your presence and your power would flow through him like never before. I pray for this church family. I thank you for the unity that's been forged, abnormal unity, as one of our guys said, abnormal unity that's been formed in this church through fire over the past year, Lord. And we pray, God, that there would be a unity of following the leader, that there would be a unity of listening to God's voice, that there would be a unity of seeing what your plan is and following that plan, and a unity, Lord, of accepting your will and your purpose. Lord, we speak life over this place. We speak life and blessing and anointing over Pastor Devin and his family. And we thank you, Lord, for calling him to be your shepherd for this people. And we commit him and his family and this church to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't know if this is, okay. I don't know quite what to say. I have such honor for this great church and the leaders that have gone before me. And I just want to thank Pastor Randy and Pastor Sharon for their, just they gave their life here. And my prayer is that the legacy that they have left will be seen and felt here in New Life for years and years to come. As I want to honor that, all that God has done, and have vision for what God wants to do. But I can tell you this, in the uncertainty of the future, this is the best time to be a New Life church. And I can say that because of the leadership of Pastor Randy and Sharon that have gone before me, they have paved a way to set us up, all of us, for what God will do in the future. And so I humbly hold this today with great anticipation for what God is going to do. Next Sunday, I feel like, I didn't know when I would share this, but I think next Sunday would be good. I want to share with all of you how I believe that this moment today was a moment that I felt when I was 11 years old, when God gave me a prophetic word in 1996 in the back fellowship hall at Evangel Assembly of God, that this moment would happen. And I was 12 then. And I want to share some of those stories with you because I just believe that God wants to just affirm and that this is a special time. But Pastor Randy, we've prepared a little something for you today, and we prepared a little tribute video of maybe some of your time here, but also just from of your dear friends and those that you have known in ministry, and they have some words to share with you in this time of your guys' new season in life. So if we could, team, prepare you for them. Let's check this out.
Hey, Pastor Randy and Sharon, you guys have been awesome friends for a long time, and you have done a great job at Kokomo New Life. Our prayers are for you as you enter into the next season of your life. I believe that God has some really great things in store for you and for Kokomo New Life. So, forward, my friend.
You have been in my life. It was here at Eagle Creek Assembly of God, now Life Church, our Eagle Creek campus, that you gave me an opportunity to come and serve under you and learn from you. And then I was given another chance at Kokomo, and what a great honor that was to be a New Life with you. It's been an honor to just have somebody like you pours into my life. Everything for my family got started here when you took your chance on a 21-year-old who didn't know very much. But that's what a father does. A father gives a place to a son to try and learn and grow. You did that for me. Sharon, you have always been there in my corner, helping me to learn how to work with Pastor Randy. Just being able to, I know you've been praying for me, and without you guys in my life. I don't know where I'd be. I don't know what could have been accomplished without somebody who took somebody out under their wing like you guys did. And you made me part of your family. And it's a great honor for you. I just want to let you know how much we love you. You're my pastor. Congratulations to your new pastor, and believe in God for mighty things. Love you guys.
Hey, Pastor Randy and Sharon, this is Pete here, all the way from SoCal, and I just wanted to say on behalf of Sarah, Jaden, and Blakely that we love, love, love you guys so much. And are so grateful for you and for all that you did in believing in us and championing us in our ministry and the call that God has for us. And so we wanted to say congratulations, and we look forward to seeing what God does in your guys' lives. So we love you. Take care.
Pastor Randy and Sharon, Deneen and I truly regret not being there this week. We're out in the field visiting missionaries this week that our church supports.
What he fails to mention is that we're actually his kids.
I just want you and Sharon to know how much you have impacted our church and our community. There's been many lives saved and touched for God's kingdom because of your impact over the past 14 years.
And for Nicole and I, you guys have meant so much to us over the years. You've been with us when we got engaged, walked with us as we were getting ready to be married. And then you were some of our biggest supporters through everything as we were getting ready to leave for the mission field. And so we thank you so much for the impact that you've had on my life since I was a kid, and then on our lives as a family since we became one.
May God bless you and Sharon in the next chapter of your lives. We love you both.
Thanks.
Good morning, Randy and Sharon. I want to congratulate the two of you on an incredible time of ministry at New Life in Kokomo. Randy, you and I, Bible quiz together. We've been friends for years. I served with you when you were in leadership at the district office, and I always appreciated your leadership and your commitment to the local church and to lost souls, and I'm so thankful to call you friend. We are excited for you as you take this next step, as you follow God's leading, and as you see where He would have you to go. Please know that we're praying for you. We count you to be great friends, and we love you guys and are wishing the very, very best for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful 2020. And we believe God has great things in store for you in the days that are ahead. God bless you.
The deacons and their families and the church as a whole, we want to offer our thanks. You've walked with us through. Thank you. You've walked with us through some of our best days, some of our worst days. You've been family to us. We're going to miss you dearly. We believe that God has great plans for you. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've done great things here. That God's used you, that you've made yourself available to God so that God can use you. I thank you for your faithfulness, for your willingness to be used by God. It's come at a cost, but the difference you've made is that the difference you've made with God working in your lives is immeasurable. A small token of appreciation from the church has been prepared for you with the verse that's near and dear to your heart. Ruth 1:16 that says, "Where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay." We just thank you for your service, for your faithfulness. We love you and we appreciate you.
Well, we invite you to just a time of reception out in the lobby today afterwards. And if you can't prepare to maybe give directly to the Blankenships, you can just make sure you mark that gift and place it in the boxes on your way out this morning, as we just want to bless them and their next season of life. And thank you for being here today. This was a moment that is special to me and our church. And we look forward to just what God has this year. But for today, I hope that you would just visit with the Blankenships, love them well, and wish them the best. And we'll see you Wednesday night at our prayer service. Love you guys. Thank you, Pastor Randy and Sharon, once again. Let's just pray, and then we'll dismiss this morning. God, we just receive all that you have spoken today. We receive it in faith. We receive it with great expectation that you will do what you said you will do. May we be conduits in which your power may flow. Lord, we pray for the lost and the broken in Kokomo and Howard County. We're coming for you. You won't be in darkness for long, but Holy Spirit, you are going to have your way in our city and in our church. We pray blessings for Randy and Sharon in this time. God, may you pour out favor on them, that their ministry is still alive, that there are lives to be reached, people to be shepherded, leaders to be raised up, and God, may you use them in mighty, mighty ways. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.